Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah?
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah?
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah?
98.5 Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati. Here on a Tuesday, Felger back in the A-hole chair. We got Maz and Murray alongside Stu and Billy Lanny behind the glass. A fully loaded program. Hi, Anthony.
Back on the B-side, bitches, right where I belong.
So here we go. It's a reentry Tuesday for me. So unfortunately, Maz, for you, I do want to hit on some of the things that you got to yesterday.
Yeah, don't apologize. That means that Murray and I can kick back a little.
So we have 4 hours. Well, maybe you have developing opinions on it as well. We've got 4 hours, and there are a few things from the weekend that I have yet to weigh in on that I do want to weigh in on. And we will start Patriots, and this is a little bit of what you did yesterday, but the Palace Q and the drama and all of that stuff, I'm telling you, man, I don't know if there's anything new necessarily, except for maybe just little angles of color and, you know, just further little details that provide color, but no new information. But the stuff that's come out in the last 24, 48 hours about Garoppolo and the Patriots.
Yep.
I mean, the thing I heard this morning that you've all heard by now with the texting after every game in San Francisco, I spat out my coffee and I wasn't even drinking any
porn. Oh, my God. I love that detail.
Well, just go ahead. Give me your thoughts on that detail and then I'll read the excerpt.
Well, it just goes to show you how much Bill has invested in this. And when I say invested, I'm not talking about the 62nd pick in the 2014 draft. I'm talking about an emotional investment. And this struck me on the way in today. You know what Jimmy Garoppolo is?
His whoopee.
He's Bill's legacy. He's Bill's legacy. That's what he is. Bill's going to be gone before Garoppolo is. So's Brady.
Wow, what a great way to put it. Can I amplify it?
Sure.
Because if in Bill's head, or if he was of the mind that he wanted to win one without Brady to prove that it wasn't just about the quarterback, well, that chance is probably taken away from him.
Right, it's gone.
This is the closest he's got.
Exactly. So Jimmy Garoppolo's success will be a reflection on Bill Belichick. Jimmy Garoppolo is Bill's legacy. He treats him now like as a son. That's what these text messages are. They're a father texting his son after every game.
That's crazy.
So I'm wondering, like, did they FaceTime too? Did Bill FaceTime with him? Did he do that? Like, it does. It makes you wonder. I really, it struck me on the way in today. I heard it and I went, wow. Like, what a detail. Bill Belichick, my face, my space, the guy who craps all over the modern media, social media, and the internet and everything else, is texting Jimmy Garoppolo, who plays for another team, after every game to tell him, good job, Jimmy.
In the middle of a stretch drive, your playoff drive.
Oh, my God, it is. Again,
it's kind of pathetic, is what it is.
All right,
but it just goes to show you what, and I don't disagree with that part of it, Murray. But it does tell you what Garoppolo means to Bill.
Jimmy Stewart, you can release the hounds, please, at 617-779-0985. Your reaction to this story and some other Patriots stuff that we will get to here forthwith. But first, your reaction there, Murray.
I was stunned to hear this. I mean, it's pretty evident how much he cared about the kid. That was evident the day after he traded him when he gushed about him on that press conference phone call. But to text him after wins, to give him the attaboy.
Ooh.
It's the guy that lost out on the younger, hotter, more malleable model. Oh, what a horrible consolation prize, Bill. You're stuck with the best quarterback in the game ever. But as a Beatle brilliantly said earlier today, too, don't even talk about Tom's legacy, just the last year of Tom Brady. The guy just had an MVP season. Oh, what a horrid consolation prize. You're stuck with him because he doesn't want to listen to you too much anymore. What's going on, Jimmy? Oh, what a great game. Let me give you some more tips on this. Oh, I'm so happy you landed in a great spot that I put you in. Oh, what a great game you had. They're looking extra handsome today, too. Oh, what a throw. I love that one on 3rd and 9. Talk to you next time, TTYL. Heart emoji. It's sad is what it is.
Yeah. Maury, the light's a little too bright in here for you. You got the sunglasses going?
Yep. So instead of bitching, I've decided I'm going to be proactive and I'm going to just look like Zoe. I'm going to wear the sunglasses. This isn't to look cool on TV. It's just so that I can actually see without my retinas being burned out.
Are those prescriptions?
I have contacts on and I put the sunglasses on.
So I just want to remind you that at 2:30, you'll be tossing to Ray Charles for the headlines.
If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you know what I'm talking about. If you're listening on the radio, Murray's wearing sunglasses. That's really it.
Stevie Wonder over here.
Okay, so here, you know, in both these stories, the Bleacher Report story last night, the Sports Illustrated story today, there's just, again, nothing new, but the whole story of how the trade went down has now just so crystallized. Because now everyone reports the same thing. The team, Bill, the Garoppolos, everyone's had, the Shanahans, the Niners, everyone's had a million chances to dispute the details of these stories, the Browns, and no one has. So, we're getting into territory here where this is just pretty much what happened. So, again, the defensive Patriot fan who wants to try and get Bill's back on this, I don't know where else you have to run. But anyway... So here's the Sports Illustrated story. And just, I'm fascinated every time I go back through the whole timeline of it. But here's the reporting. It's Jenny Ventras. Is that how you pronounce it?
Ventras.
Ventras from Sports Illustrated. And it's a whole takeout piece on Garoppolo, but, you know, she does get to the trade. And so the details of the trade. So just dial it back to the previous offseason. Kyle Shanahan and Bill Belichick, they met at the coaching combine, the scouting combine in Indianapolis in March of 2017. Kyle Shanahan had just gotten the Niners job, and San Francisco at the time had literally zero quarterbacks on its roster. But when Shanahan inquired to Belichick about Garoppolo, he got the same answer Belichick gave everyone else. Garoppolo, in no uncertain terms, was not available. Belichick's insistence on holding on to his backup only served to stoke other teams' desires. Part of the Garoppolo mystique was always... has always been this implicit endorsement from Belichick, who is notoriously hard to please, Maz, and who is wary of using high draft picks on quarterbacks. In fact, in 24 drafts with the Browns and the Patriots, Belichick has never selected a passer in the top 60.
Correct.
Something. But then, as the trade deadline approached, all was quiet. That's when Belichick reconnected with Shanahan, offering Garoppolo in exchange for the 49ers' 2018 second-round pick. Quote, it was almost too good to be true, says Shanahan's father, Mike, the longtime NFL coach who fielded a call from his stunned son after the proposal was made. It took no more than 10 minutes for Kyle and 49ers GM John Lynch to decide to accept the offer. So just think of that. Like, again... The Niners are asking. Everyone's asking on Garoppolo. No, 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 no. Windows closed, windows closed, windows closed. Then their phone rings out of nowhere the day before the trade deadline in October, and he's offered for a second-round pick. And Kyle Shanahan says, what? He calls his dad immediately. Like, Dad, does this sound right to you?
Kyle Shanahan, son of Mike Shanahan, who Belichick respects.
Right, something like this. Very good, Colin. And then they call John Lynch, and they're like, is he for real? Call him back and take it. And not even a negotiation. How does that taste?
Bill is telling you, I've not only hit the turn, I'm on the last couple of holes of this golf course.
It just goes to show you how one-sided that deal was. The Niners needed 10 minutes to decide. 10 minutes. Like, why wouldn't we do this? Yeah, we're in.
Okay. And 9 minutes.
This
nine
is what
those.
Presidents do, folks.
Okay, Colin,
they
I got
pardon
it.
People.
I got it. We'll,
yeah.
we'll pass the pipe.
Nine of those
later.
Minutes where those guys probably falling all over each other trying to make that phone call back. What? It just proves that it was kind of a spite trade. Oh, I need to deal him? Fine. I'll deal him.
Well, then Jenny gets into the surprise in Foxborough and how stunned people were in Foxborough. She says that Garoppolo had become something of a weekday legend in Foxborough. Quote, one of the more enjoyable parts of practice was watching Jimmy rip him downfield on a tightrope on the scout team, says former center Brian Stork. In games, even in the preseason, Garoppolo brought a whole next level kind of competitiveness, recalls Matt Patricia, the then defensive coordinator. And the team responded, she writes. The surprise in New England when the trade went down echoed that respect. ESPN reported in January that Pats owner Robert Kraft had mandated that Belichick trade Garoppolo. But even longtime players and staff members have no idea what went into the decision, and Belichick never addressed the trade with his team. The Browns, as has been widely reported, were willing to offer more for Garoppolo than what the 49ers exchanged. So was Belichick's hand forced? Was he determined to place Garoppolo where he'd have the best chance of success? And then they quote Garoppolo's mom, Denise. Bill really, really liked Jimmy, says Denise. Not like they were warm and fuzzy, but they both knew it was there. Last December, following the trade, a sort of weekly ritual began. After each of Garoppolo's starts for the 49ers, he received a text from the coach who had trading him, who had traded him, congratulating him on another win.
OMG, what a game. Heart emoji. TTYL lover.
Can you believe that? So this whole narrative that we've been pumping and that I believe, why did Belichick do that? Why did he do it? Why did he do it? The Browns offered their second first-round pick, which ended up being number four in the draft. At the time, it wasn't. At the time, it would have been bottom half because it was the Houston pick, and they had gotten off to a 2-3 start or something like that with Deshaun Watson. So it was going to be somewhere in the middle of the first round at that time. It turned into number four because Watson got hurt. But that's what was being offered. Bill didn't accept it. He didn't even negotiate with the Shanahans. He just called them, asked for the second-round pick. They said yes in under 10 minutes, and that was it. Why? Why did he do it? Why? It's the question, why? And I believe it's because he wanted to take care of Garoppolo.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Again, I go back to the comments that Bill made on the day of the deal. And Jimmy's got a good coach.
And so, you know, and we've been playing and giving you all the anecdotal evidence that we believed, but now here's another log on the fire. He was so invested in Garoppolo personally that he reached out to him personally after every game in December.
Again, Jimmy Garoppolo was Bill Belichick's legacy, and that's how Belichick sees it. I think we can say that now definitively.
Holy moly.
That Bill invested in this kid to the point where he said, this kid is going to be my lasting imprint, my final imprint on the league. That when I'm gone, aside from the Super Bowl trophies and the run with Tom and everything else, the thing I will leave behind, even beyond my kids on coaching staffs, is Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers.
Neat. All the while, he screws his employer.
Oh, he totally did.
So any other coach, it's a fireball offense. Any other coach, you don't maximize the offer. You send him to a certain spot because you want the player to land well. What happened to doing what's best for the team? So Bill clearly did not do it in this case.
See, but given how he feels about the player.
And if it were any other coach, it'd be a fireball offense.
And this should also tell you how he regards the transgression by Kraft. If Jimmy's his legacy, Kraft forced him to cut bait. So aside from the owner cutting off the legs of the coach on a personnel decision, this was his guy. This is his son, for all intents and purposes. Really, I mean, this is the guy that he drafted higher than any quarterback he's ever picked, that he was entrusting the franchise, the greatest dynasty in the NFL to, that he was going to have the future with all of that. And Kraft made him get rid of him. So he's emotionally, this should give you an idea as to how he feels about the kid.
This is something I feel is coming, a denial. It'll be through a media cartel member, but I'm surprised if we don't make it through the afternoon without a report coming out that don't believe everything you read. Don't, you know, just prediction market 2:15 here on Tuesday afternoon.
By Hashtag fake news.
You know, by the time we're off the air at 6, there will be something of a reported denial of that because it just looks too, it's just, there's no escape on that. It's just another log on the fire of why did Bill do it? He wanted to take care of the kid. He put the kid's interests ahead of the team's. And that's a big one. That's a sort of a big one to get around. So get your reaction to this. I want to get into the Malcolm Mitchell news. I think that's an important one for the team. And all your thoughts. Felger and Maz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. To you right after this.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom Brady adjusting at the line of scrimmage. Left foot forward waiting on the snap. Short motion by Edelman left. Shotgun snap to Brady. He's looking left. He's throwing toward Mitchell. Has the catch inside the left pylon. Touchdown and the lead for the Patriots.
Oh, man. What a throw. What a throw. It's the rookie beating the $40 million corner, Darrell Revis. And Brady, who has stayed away from Revis the entire game, when the game hung in the balance, when he needed the big play, he goes to Edelman to start this drive to get it going, and it comes back to the rookie, and it's a great job by Julian Edelman not putting his hands up.
Malcolm Mitchell. Malcolm Mitchell highlight from 2 years ago now, and that's just real quick to get into Malcolm Mitchell. He's gone. It's done. It had a knee injury last year, couldn't really come back from it, was supposed to be working his way back this year, went in for a knee procedure or maybe to take a look or a scope or something. Either way, and now the team's trying to deal him, and that's it for Malcolm Mitchell. That's not a good story for the Patriots. I like that guy. And he was he fit. He fit with the offense. He fit with what Tom Brady wants. With Amendola gone and some other changes on the offense, I thought that was a key guy. They need someone of a group of, you know, whether it's Kenny Britt or the new guy they signed, who I purposely forget his name.
Jordan Matthews
or Malcolm Mitchell formerly. They desperately need one of those guys. And I thought Malcolm Mitchell to me was the guy that I put at the leader in the clubhouse. That was the guy. And now he's damaged goods slash gone. That's a tough blow for the team.
Oh, I you get no argument from me there. Like anybody who's got some sort of history of rapport with Brady, they need to keep. The news yesterday that like they're shopping him, that blows my mind. Because what are you going to get for him at this stage?
No, zero. It's the precursor to a release.
I know, but this is my point. Why not just hold on to him and see what happens?
Yeah, I hear you.
Give it a shot. Like, trade him for what?
You got 90 guys on your roster. Yeah, you can carry 90 players.
Right. Ride it out. Just ride it out on the chance that he's healthy and he can play. What are you doing?
Well, so look, I'm not going to. I have no idea what's going on there internally. I mean, maybe they just look at him and see maybe he, I don't know, doesn't want to play hurt or hasn't been good with his rehab or, you know, hasn't been doing everything right. I mean, I'm just guessing. I have no idea. I mean, because they must have their reasons. Otherwise, why wouldn't you just stick it out?
Well, maybe they just think that physically he's hopeless. Or they think he could be on the field and he's soft.
Right. Or they saw something in his makeup like, well, this ain't going to work. You know, we don't want to work with this. And so, you know, you're done. To me, that's not my second guess. I mean, they're releasing him for a reason. I'll trust their reason. I think it sucks that he didn't work out. They need that player.
I mean, in the second half of that Super Bowl, I was just looking it up.
He was huge.
5 for 5, Brady was thrown to him. 5 for 5 for 63 yards.
Rookie already knows how to come back for the ball, how to square off his routes, how to run him the way Brady wants him run, and Brady wants him run a specific way. Looks back at the quarterback, goes to get the ball, strong hands, catches in traffic, can play outside the numbers, but he's not the home run threat, which I don't care about, but I do want someone to run comebacks and outs outside the numbers just to keep the defense honest to that part of the field, and he was the perfect kind of guy for that. Felt like he felt tough. You remember in the preseason, he bent his arm backwards and like didn't miss hardly any time. Remember that?
I think he was back like in the next game or two.
So like I felt he sort of showed some toughness there as a rookie. I love the way he played. I like that kind of receiver. I don't care if you take the top off the defense, but I want you to come back and get the ball. And I don't know. They haven't hit on a ton of receivers down there. That felt like one of them. And so I don't know. That's not a good story. The Garoppolo stuff is old news. It's just salacious and it's fun and it's soap opery. So we talk about it in terms of tangible importance to the team. The Malcolm Mitchell thing's bigger than that. I mean, it is. So as promised, to your thoughts here, Pete in Delaware, what do you got?
Hey guys, a couple of quick points. As far as Garoppolo goes, the story kind of emboldens Brady for what he did in the offseason, because here you got a guy, your head coach text messaging your former quarterback. It just gives a little credibility to Brady not showing up this season. And the other thing is maybe the best off-season signing was Josh McDaniels, because I don't know how Brady and Belichick are going to interact this year with all this stuff.
Well, so maybe it ties together, right, where Bill's guy is gone on the other coast and he can't quit him. I can't quit you. He just can't quit him. And so Brady's sitting here saying, oh, this guy, I'm, you know, Robert, you make me play for this a-hole? Would you bring Josh back, please? So I got, you know, because Bill's still, you know, playing grab ass with his buddy out in San Francisco. Can we get you? And this sort of plays into, again, Karen Garigian, the latest over the weekend. She writes, much of what Bedard has been saying for the last couple days, weeks, months. As for Belichick, she says he is reportedly irritated because he believes Brady tugged on Robert Kraft to make moves, like Jimmy Garoppolo and Josh McDaniels, which ultimately forced Belichick's hand. My sources confirm Brady had a hand in bringing McDaniels back at the 11th hour after the latter was headed to Indianapolis to be the Colts coach. So, like, that all just, it does sort of tie together, doesn't it?
So, the part that interests me now, I said this yesterday, why is Bill pissed that McDaniels is back?
Why is Bill pissed?
Yeah. In other words,
he's just pissed that Brady and Robert are running the team.
Yeah. I mean, so, but if you're McDaniels, how do you feel about that? Like, so Bill was ready to let me go, but Tom brought me back. Like, I don't know. I just think that's an interesting wrinkle to it. That's all.
Well, finish the thought then.
No. I just.
You think Josh should feel what?
I just wonder about the dynamic between Bill and Josh now.
Yeah, it's got to be awkward.
I mean, you know, because Josh is now the middleman. He's clearly regarded as being on Brady's side. Like, in my head, I'm thinking Bill sees this line. There's Robert and Tom on one side and there's Bill on the other. So which side is Josh on? It feels like he's on the quarterback side.
Of course.
So Bill's now sitting there. Now does he have tension with his offensive coordinator? I don't know.
Why do you think that dingbat from Wisconsin is now on the staff?
Brett Bielema?
Yeah, you need a new Bobo. You need someone on your side of the office.
I'm telling you, this feels like the kind of crap that used to go on at Fenway Park, where they all had to have their guys because there was this big line drawn down the middle, man. That's what it feels like.
Well, there's a new Bobo in town. Mike Lombardi's gone. Was Schiano on the staff for a little bit? Is he still here?
Well, let me look that up, but I know he was for a time.
I can't even remember. But, you know.
No, Bill's got to have his Bobos.
Dave and Fulmer.
And he left Brady for another woman. He did. He left him. He left Brady for Jimmy G.
Go ahead, Dave.
How you doing? You know, I picked up something else on that other story. According to Brady, he has a three-way text every week with Garoppolo and Brissett.
No, according to Brissett, that they still text each other, yes.
Yeah, discuss, you know, games and what they would have done differently. And so that kind of struck me a little odd also, that you're texting ex-team members and discussing, you know, what you would have done differently or how you would have done it. And that also adds to
Dave, let me cut you off. I don't have a problem with that.
Me neither, and I'll tell you why. Because players talk to players and the quarterbacks are a fraternity.
Absolutely. And so, like, I mean, the whole Brady Garoppolo thing, I mean, it's a thing, but Brady's issue wasn't with Garoppolo, it was with Bill. You know, Garoppolo was just the guy that Bill brought in, but Brady's competition, his battle was with Belichick. And certainly Brady gave Garoppolo the high hat plenty of times. I mean, just that one preseason, it was sad to see Jimmy trying to muscle in on those huddles on the sidelines. It was sad, but that wasn't Brady boxing out Garoppolo. It was Brady boxing out Belichick. That makes sense?
Totally, because it was Bill's decision ultimately. And the other thing is, the equivalent to me would be, had Bill been reaching out, you know, Bill probably texts other coaches in the league that he's close with. That probably happens.
Sure.
Right? Coach to coach, you're not playing him, fine, no problem. Like, you would expect the communication to exist on that level. But the quarterback he traded away.
Oh, God.
Like, that's crossing a line,
no
isn't
question it? Question
that is crossing a line. That's a diagonal line, not a horizontal line. He's dropping down a level. This is his guy. He looks at Jimmy G like a son. He does, like a son that he had to send off.
You got to work on a sample text there, Murray.
If we can get like the text sound effect, Jimmy, maybe we can find that and I can just, OMG, did you see Tom fumble at the end of the Super Bowl? LOL, send. Like, what's he doing texting this kid?
Oh, it's tremendous. It's just tremendous. We continue with your thoughts after Murray gets you updated.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Belichick Garoppolo love affair continues. It's just a detail. It just adds color. It's not really a development, but it is startling to read in Sports Illustrated that after Garoppolo was traded to the Niners, Bill texted him after each of his starts in December.
It's rich, isn't it?
Just to be, you know, from a guy that just doesn't feel like the texting type.
You think he sent him a little eggplant emoji, Murray?
That game left me. Eggplant emoji. Send.
I don't get eggplant emoji.
Oh, the eggplant emoji would be a state of arousal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. I was just assuming.
Also, with the raindrops and the umbrella, left me Eggplant emoji. Raindrops. So hot.
Freaking Bill.
It's like a dissolved marriage with these two.
It's like most of our instincts feel like, well, the reporting remains consistent with our instincts early on. When they traded Garoppolo, and Bill did that conference call, and Jimmy, if you could just pull up that cut for me, please. When Bill did that conference call and answered the question on the Garoppolo trade the way he did, it was unlike any other thing that he'd ever said about anyone after trading him. I mean, gushing, beaming. Bill was beaming about the player.
First of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us. And the 49ers are getting a good player, and they're getting a good person, and they're getting a great teammate, and they're getting a good quarterback. And Jimmy's getting a good coach.
Just stop. The Bill at this point, he's trying to hold it in.
Right. You just feel he's getting surprised you don't hear a zip.
He's getting a little emotional.
I mean, to me, just those last few words, Jimmy's getting a good coach. Since when does that matter?
Oh, so right.
You think he said that about Seymour? You think he's texting Richard Seymour in Oakland when he shipped his ass out there?
Can you believe I'm stuck with Tom SMH? Send.
Who's more invested in Garoppolo's success, Maz or Belichick?
Bill.
It's like it's,
again, to rehear that again after reading these articles, he's treated every player like meat.
Yes.
And he's gushing about Jimmy Garoppolo, who he's only had for a handful of years.
Keep going.
This is unbelievable. I had to deal you away. I heart you. Send.
Give me more, Bill, on the conference call.
His career is moving forward. He's a talented individual.
On and on.
And was a great person to coach. I met with him weekly. And, again, have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
And even the part about the meeting weekly, right? We later found out that was a manipulation of the facts.
So, yeah, I guess it was just part of the regular quarterback meeting. But Bill sort of portrayed it like we had one-on-one time.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, again, to me, that day when he did that conference call, it was pretty apparent that he was not happy he had to deal this kid away.
Well, so how do you feel, Patriots fans? Does it make you angry? Does it make you angry that you could have had the fourth overall pick in the draft last year, which is what could have happened? Cleveland was offering, and again, the story on Bleacher Report was another one. Both these stories have said that Browns offered more. The former GM in Cleveland said that and let it be known that their second first-round pick was available. They had two first-round picks last year. They owned Houston's. And at the time of the trade deadline, Deshaun Watson was still healthy, and so Houston was 2-3. And let's say they were on the way for a winning season. Let's say they're going to be 9-7, and there's going to be a pick in the middle of the first round. Either way, a pick in the middle of the first round is better than a pick in the second. And you didn't send them there. It ended up being number four. It wasn't four at the time, but that's what it ended up being. And Bill wouldn't send him there, presumably. And you tell me how it's wrong, because he wanted to take care of the kid, because he was invested in his future and he liked him and respected him. He didn't want to do him wrong. So he put the player's interests, a former player's interests, above those of the team. And then carried on a long distance texting affair with the guy when he got the starting job in December.
I mean, is this one of those? Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
Great. Game today, kiddo. HML later. We'll go over certain plays. Send.
Seriously, I mean, does that make you mad? I mean, you have a right
to be. It should make you mad with that line that he spews all the time, just trying to do what's best for the team.
If the guy had a 1-5, for anyone else, it's a fireball offense. I mean, it is.
Well, Mike, what's worse? What is worse? Not playing Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl or trading away Jimmy Garoppolo for a second round pick.
1 and 1A.
I mean, they're right there. Those are two egregious offenses of you putting your ego before the good of the team. Two egregious offenses.
Well, I don't know if Garoppolo was, well, yeah, I'm sure it was partly ego, but it was also just partly personal. Oh, newsflash, everybody. Bill's a human being. He takes care of people he likes. He doesn't take care of people he doesn't like. Like everybody else on the planet. So just like this myth that Bill's not driven by those things like a normal human being is just so wrong and such a cliche. Don't buy it. He's a human being. He helps people he likes. He doesn't help people he doesn't like the rest of us. Paul in Braintree. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, how you doing? Quick, Murray, Porcello's not pitching tonight.
Yeah, I know. It was Pomeroy. It's my bad. Yeah.
Okay. So listen, I'm a lifetime season ticket holder with the Patriots. There's only one other thing that pissed me off more than trading Garoppolo. Was when Steve Bergen didn't play in the Super Bowl. Other than that, it's all set. Okay?
Paul, we're going to get to Grogan later on, interestingly enough that you mentioned that. We have something on Grogan
that's
coming.
Yeah, I got you. But, you know, it's good for Belichick for taking care of people he likes. You beat me to that one about 2 seconds before I got a chance to say it. And another thing I want to say is, Maz, miss you down at the Herald when I used to make you lunch. Okay? That's all I got to say.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for the call. We had a lunchroom.
Oh, yeah, we had a cafeteria at the Herald, yeah.
Like, why can't I remember it?
Oh, yeah, you came in the front door. It was just to the right, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you get a good chicken salad down there.
Yeah. Here's Bob in Marble. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, talking about Belichick. Belichick lost his will to win. I'm just saying, after the Super Bowl, after he lost Garoppolo, he just lost it. And the rest of the team knew it when they benched Butler. When he benched Butler at the Super Bowl, that was it. All the team left.
So I don't think Bill's lost his will to win. He still wanted to win that game, and he still wants to win championships. He didn't try and lose the Super Bowl. He just, I think maybe through the Garoppolo thing and being usurped on Garoppolo, he was just sort of hardened in terms of, well, I'm going to do it on my terms. I'm going to do it with the people I want to do it with, and do it with the people I like, and it's, you know, it's just going to be on my terms. And if that's at the expense of the team, well, so be it. I'll still win because I can do it my way and still win. And he almost did. He almost did, as he's done a lot in his career. I'll do it my way, and I'll still win. And if Brady doesn't fumble on that last possession, he probably does.
Yeah, to me, Murray has said this, and the more this goes on, the more I wonder if they're not connected. That Bill's state of mind with the whole Garoppolo thing and being usurped affected how he made decisions. So to say directly he did this because of that makes it sound like it was premeditated, but I think he was in a mood. And so I think as it went along, he said, you know what? I'm going to do it my way because winning his way is more important than winning. Like that, I will say that I think Bill wants to win his way. And now he thinks his way is the best way, but to me, like, oh God, two huge, huge, just egregious offenses against the franchise there if you count Butler and Garoppolo together.
Almost 25 minutes commercial free coming your way right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, obviously I want to play. That's the competitor in me. I think everyone out here wants to play. And, you know, we come out here and compete every day for that opportunity. And if you go out and earn it, it's yours.
That's Jimmy Garoppolo during his time with the Patriots, when Tom Brady was still the starter, talking about wanting to play. And everything else in these stories on Garoppolo, the big long takeouts, you know, some of his comments have gotten a lot of attention, you know, sort of implying that he feels he was better than Brady or could have beat Brady out or things like that. I don't care about those. Like, what do you want him to say? How do you want him to feel? Like, that's how he's supposed to be wired. That's how he's supposed to feel. And so he kind of sort of said it. Like, I don't know. So what? Like, that part of the story doesn't grab me. There was one detail in the SI story today that got Maz's, interest. Eggplant emoji going, by the way. You read it was early on in the Ventures piece in Sports Illustrated about what was going on in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. No. I highlighted it. This part of the story by Jenny Vrentis. Two banners adorn one corner of Levi's Stadium. Printed on one, under a photo of Hall of Famer Joe Montana, are the words "faithful then." On the other, under a photo of Garoppolo, "faithful now." Oh. Oh. I told you, Murray. He reminds me a little bit of Joe. You know, I'm not the only one, Murray, apparently, who has made this comparison. A little bit. Reminds me a little bit of Joe.
Oh, I so desperately want them to go like 7-9 this year.
I mean,
be like Scott Mitchell.
Okay, now that aside, my personal little eggplant aside, like, think of what the burden they are putting on this guy. Holy crap.
Yeah, a little much, don't you think?
You're putting a pick. Like, it's one thing for me to do it. It's another thing for the team to put up
stupid.
A
stupid.
I mean, the Patriots put a banner up of Brady on the White House and we got pissed.
Yes.
Oh, that was a joke. They're doing this. They're putting Montana up next. This kid up next to Montana on the outside of the stadium. Are they crazy? Mm. What are they doing? Steve Young couldn't live up to that, for crying out loud.
No, it's dumb. It's dumb. It's too much, putting too much on the kid. But either way, the story continues. John and Dedham, what do you got, John?
Well, you know, I think you guys are exactly right in regards to why Bill did what he did. You know, I'm sure he likes the kid, but I think a bigger part of it is going to Bill's ego, that his incessant need to have to be proven to be right on everything he does. So I think he wanted to set Jimmy up with the best chance to win that he could so that he can go back and say, look, he's a superstar. He's the next best quarterback. I proved myself right. I think it has more to do with that than him actually liking the kid. And I think when all said and done, Bill's going to prove to be right. I really think this kid is going to be the next big thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if San Francisco makes it to a Super Bowl within the next 3 years.
Okay. Good call, John. I think it was definitely part of it. You know? Hey, Robert, I told you. Robert, I told you. I mean, I got to do what you got to do, but I told you. Like, that's, of course that's part of it. John in Framingham. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. They're going to the Super Bowl. Is that guy needs Prozac. You know, is Philadelphia going somewhere? These people are so funny. You're right, Mike, when you talk about soap operas. Jimmy G is going to find out after all the teams scout him this year and they have to try to find out his weaknesses and what he does wrong. You're going to find out why those Shanahans and the rest of the kooks, just like Pete Teambottom said, there's a sucker bond every day when they gave him that contract, because he's not going to live up to anything close to that contract. I want to know how much of you people, when Brady was suspended, thought that we had Jimmy G. 4-0, here we go. Yeah, sure. Jimmy G has been a stiff ever since he was on the Patriots. He couldn't do anything in a preseason game. He never did anything else except for win that one game or two. And by the way, when he got hurt, did anybody say, oh, no, two more losses now, Jimmy G's gone?
So you think
so he goes out to to San Francisco and wins five games, and he gets this big contract like, because Shanahan says he's going to be something?
John, do you think Belichick got it wrong?
Belichick got a run we traded him? I think maybe he didn't get enough
for him.
Because you always try to get enough for him. But
Belichick,
saying,
John, Belichick liked him. Was Belichick wrong to like Garoppolo?
I think what he says about his character and that kind of stuff, he might have been right. I mean, correctly. But to think that Jimmy G...
John, he liked Garoppolo. You're not talking. I'm not going to just listen to you ramble like that.
No, that's a guy who is, you know, upset by the fact that, you know, because anything that would reflect negatively on the Patriots, that guy's not going to be able to stomach.
I mean, we don't know if Garoppolo... You're right. We don't know.
Jimmy G, 1-3.
Our opinion is the same as yours. Belichick really liked him as a player, wanted him to be the next quarterback. So does Bill have it wrong? It's okay if you think Bill did. Murray does. Murray thinks Bill overrated him. And a lot of people feel that way. Just try and be consistent. It'd be a much cleaner argument. You don't think Garoppolo can play. You think we're all overrating him. So you think Bill overrated him too. No problem. Bill's been
Jimmy G catastrophe.
Bill can be wrong, can't he? Bill's overrated players before. He's liked players that haven't worked out. Maybe Garoppolo's one of them. We'll find out. It's all going to come out. There's not going to be much of an argument in a couple of years when we know exactly whether Garoppolo can play or not.
You guys are in deep, deep trouble with the galloping pick chicken.
Thank you, Carlton. Chris in Rockland. Go ahead, Chris.
How you doing, guys? When is Belichick on the next Parcells train out of town? Because once Parcells' toes started getting stepped on, the whole Terry Glenn thing, you know, she didn't play this week.
Yeah.
We'll see about next week. How long do you think that's going to take for him to hop on that train out of town? And a quick observation for Maz. I'm the whitest guy on earth. I don't tan and I can't dance. But I got to tell you, my friend, you're a close second with that two-step you had.
What two-step?
For Juan Carlos Stanton, which I would like to see him play too.
Yes. Okay. That was an old one, but we can revisit that another time.
That wasn't really an attempt at dancing. But anyway, go ahead.
Here's the thing. they've all set it up for Bill to go. Like, Brady stays and is getting his way, and let's see when if Brady gets his contract, if and when he gets his contract. You know, McDaniels was pulled off the plane, partly at Brady's behest. Like, you know, Bill must wonder, what am I even here for? Well, he's probably the highest paid coach in all of sports. You know, 10, 12, 14 million a year. I don't know what it is. It's probably a really good number. If Bill walks away, he doesn't collect that money and he can't go work anywhere else. For him to go work somewhere else, he has to be fired. So the Krafts ain't going to fire him.
No.
No way. Okay. Going back to Parcells, they still don't like the criticism they get for losing Parcells. Never mind firing the great. By the same way, Robert was never going to let Tom Brady play for another team, he's not going to fire Bill Belichick. If Belichick quits, then, well, what? It's not my fault. I wanted to keep him. But there's no way. So there's, I wonder if there's a little bit of a staring contest there.
Oh, I think that's exactly what's going on some level. Or there's a wink, wink, nod, nod. Maybe they've had a discussion about it because, look, they've known each other long enough. Maybe Bill said, went in and said to Robert, hey, look, you know that this is driving me crazy. I mean, you gave me the right to run the football operation and you jumped in. So, you know, maybe Bill's ready to quit. And Robert says, I've told you, my belief is that they have an agreement. Give me one more year, get the team pointed in the right direction, then hand the keys to McDaniels. Like, I wonder if that's where they're headed. I mean, I'd be surprised if a year from now, Bill Belichick's the coach of the Patriots. I don't know how you feel.
No, I feel it's one and done. I mean, it could go in any direction, but if I were a betting man, I'd put odds on this is it. This is it for him.
See, but I'd be willing to bet that even Kraft has said that to Brady. Like, if you want to get Brady to stay beyond this year, Bill's going to be gone after 2018. Like, I think it's all connected. This thing, the fact that it's still going on is in a lot of ways unbelievable.
Okay, we got some Red Sox stuff to get to as well. We'll do this all day, and you stay on the phones, and we'll start picking you up again next hour. But I do want to get to some Red Sox stuff. Maz has some information on the Red Sox and Baltimore Orioles and trade talks between those two teams. Maz has some exclusive info on that. There's been another team that has apparently shot down your prospects as you try and chase a reliever. That's happened. And a great little contrast last night between a Red Sox player screwing up on the base pass and what Alex Cora said, and a Yankee screwing up on the base pass and what Aaron Boone said. And maybe that speaks to something of the direction of those two teams, because don't look now, but AL East is just about over. Never mind the playoff berth. The division might be just about over, as the Red Sox lead climbs to 6 games and counting. We'll get to all of that right after Murray's update here. No commercials. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.